I tell you. So you look at all these. See, what happens when we're wounded? I'm not getting to the perfectionism thing much, but that's okay. We'll do it how it goes. When we're wounded, we see through the woundedness, and then we take it as a personal rejection. So if you are the one trying to rescue your child or rescue your spouse, and then they say something because they're tired of feeling like the victim, or they're tired of your fear getting on them, or you feeling good about it, and then they seem like they reject you, it hurts even more because you thought you were doing everything right. And that's what Satan sets codependency up to do. He sets it up to cause you to hurt because you loved so much. But you loved in fear and not faith. You served out of fear or guilt. See, God wants us to be led by His Spirit. He wants to show me when to say what to my kids or my spouse. He wants to show me when to just pray. He wants me to be able to take whatever comes at me and walk above it. And boy, that takes maturity. So, you know, Jesus is saying here, just communicate. If you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. Anything else is evil. Well, how many know? Somebody asks you to do something. Blah, 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 blah. It's evil. Everybody's like, ooh. Is that what it says? We used to not understand that because we all played these games so much, we didn't even understand it. To understand, that's what he was saying, but I understand it now. I said to my son, just say what you mean. Just say what you mean. He goes in a whole lot in this book about, and this is so true, where women are more emotionally, we're more geared emotionally, we represent more like the Holy Spirit. And so your husband might not be talking to you because he's really thinking about changing the tires or something, or rotating the tires or something. And the way they walk away, the enemy just comes to you. He doesn't give the devil any credit for anything. Like, I recognize the enemy and stuff. That's his book's more about your brain and things. But anyway, but I'll just say the way I say it. But so they walk away, and right away the enemy says, because of your insecurity, he doesn't love you. He doesn't even want to be in the room with you. And pretty soon you're working up this whole conversation in your head about how much he really must not love me. He never talks to me. He really doesn't ask me to go anywhere. And pretty soon you're so mad. How dare he not even talk to me? Who does he think he is? I clean, I do this, I do that. And pretty soon you're going, well, then you just fix your own dinner. I'm just going out with my friends. And he's like, what? What did I do? And you're like, you know what you did. You know, all he's thinking is, I was just thinking about tires, or especially if the other person is a person who isolates as a coping mechanism. They close down, they put it all inside, and they kind of get away from everything. And you're used to that, and you know that's what they do. You know that's what they do when they don't want to communicate. So then if they're even thinking about something totally unrelated, you've now become so sensitive to being rejected that way that now when they're not even thinking like that, the devil has you thinking they're thinking like that. The devil's able to make you feel rejected when they're not even thinking like that, because when they have rejected you, that's the way they've handled it. I just want to tell you this. You need to speak the truth in love. And we've been talking about this a lot because I want people who really know how to communicate, because that's the key. That's like your yes, be yes, and be no. So let's say something that your spouse says is really irritating you and you don't want to just let them have it. That's good. But to just be quiet and walk away opens the door, especially passive aggressive, it opens the door for the devil to just give them all kinds of lies that are probably worse than anything you would have said. So how do you handle that? Because you really do need to go and hear from God. Speak the truth in love. Right now, I'm really upset by you saying that, or by you not coming home for dinner on time. And I know it's my problem. And I need to go work it out with God. So I just really can't talk right now. Instead of, why can't we just do that? Why can't we just say, because they're going to be, don't worry what they do. You do what God shows you to do and he'll give you grace. Just do what God, just speak the truth in love. I remember when the Lord started dealing with me with this because my kids would do stuff that would really get to me as they were growing up sometimes. And I came from a family where there'd be a lot of screaming and stuff sometimes. I don't think anybody ever kept anything in. And so, you know, I'd feel it coming up to yell at them. And I learned to just say, you know what? I've got to go get with God because something in you is bugging something in me. Until I get the something in me out, I can't talk to you. So I love you, but I've got to go spend time with God. Where you don't have grace, there's something in you. What you're looking at that's bugging, it may not be the same exact, but truthfully, yours is a log because it's making you not see right. And so I learned that. That was powerful. Instead of just blaming them, trying to change their behavior. See, nobody's behavior should trigger behavior in me. I'm spirit-led. I'm spirit-led. But if your behavior triggers behavior in me, I got something I can take to God and get dealt with. What freedom? I don't have to change you one bit. And I'm not called to change you one bit. And it's true. It's amazing. It's amazing how free you get. The hardest part is not blaming the other person, because it's really easy to see what your spouse did wrong in raising the kids. Boy, you could just give him a list or her a list a mile long. But you know, one believing spouse, and that doesn't mean you have to be a believer, one believing spouse for those promises sanctifies children and make them holy. So if your children aren't sanctified and holy, you cannot blame anyone else except you. Because God's given you that kind of authority. Now that's kind of nice of God because he puts two people there, so there's a lot of hope that the kids will be semi-sanctified and holy if you got two godly parents going after God. But when I learned that, I was able to say, okay, I can see where if he had done this or he had done this, and the Lord said, who made you his judge? My word says, if one believing spouse, and you say you're believing, would seek me, ask for wisdom, I'll give it. And that just helped me a whole lot to begin to minister in a way to see. But it also broke me because I realized, oh, God's not asking me to see what they picked up from what their father did wrong. God's asking me to see what's in them that's in me that's causing the strife between us. And it was very painful. We got a teaching on delusion. You cannot enter into real communication and relationships until your delusion breaks. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but God's really having me hit on this again tonight. We're also delusional. And in our delusion, we always blame everybody else. When God's given us authority, so we don't have to blame anybody else, where we can't even blame anybody but ourselves. But that's okay. Because he already knows we're not perfect. We're the only ones who have to get the light bulb. He goes on and he says, you have heard that it was said, this is verse 38, Matthew 5:38, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evil, but whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And to him desiring to sue you, to take your tunic, allow him to also have your coat. And whoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, you go two with them. The one asking you to give and wishing to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do well to those hating you, pray for those abusing and persecuting you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven, because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers, what exceptional thing do you do? Do not the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What's perfect to God? What's perfect to God is dying to self. What's perfect to God is not reacting because of the evil that comes at you. The only way not to react to evil coming at you is to get evil out of you. To get grace above it. You want to know? So I'm telling you what real perfect is, so all the perfectionists in the room can get the revelation they're not perfectionists. That God's concept of perfection is so different than the works concept. God is saying, if you want to be perfect like your Father in heaven, die so much to self, live so much in Christ, put everyone higher in a place above yourself, that even if they curse you, the evil can't get in you and you bless them. And believe me, these aren't works you can fake. These are things God will let you walk through so you can be tested. You know, you're being perfected when you have a child that says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Does it mean God has provoked that child to do that? It means if that's your situation, God has given you in his word, let your yes be yes. Don't be manipulated and controlled by what they're saying and doing. Same with the spouse. Same with an employer. This is how it is. This is how it is. And then when they curse you, bless them. Well, I love you, and you can never stop me from loving you. Well, I hope you just go to hell. Well, I'm not going to because God lives in my heart. But I'm going to pray that you really have a revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. That's God's. Whose idea of perfection is real? Yours or the Lord's? The Lord. So as we want to be perfect, it doesn't mean in trying to control and do everything right. It's about what? It's about a heart. It's about a heart that forgives. It's about a heart that separates the person hurting them from the spirit provoking that person to hurt them. It's a heart that says, I'm going to believe and pray for you and be like my Lord no matter what you say or do to me. And God wants to get us to that. And I've walked through a lot of things to learn to get to that. And to the degree that you can't do that, to the degree that you want to provoke back, to the degree that you want to react, Satan wants us to be reactors so he can constantly be in charge of our actions. What happens when the enemy gets to be in charge of our actions? What happens when the enemy provokes your child to cuss you out or call you a name? And then it stirs up something in you and you lash back. What does the enemy do with that? He causes condemnation. He causes you to feel like a failure. He causes you to say, oh, I'm not a Christian. You know, you being a Christian or not has nothing to do really with how you react when the enemy is pushing your buttons. If you're a Christian, it's because the Holy Spirit is in you and forgiveness is there for you, but you recognize the buttons don't belong there. And you don't try to hide them. That's a hypocrite. I'm not hiding the buttons. They're there. But I'd really encourage you not to push them again. But just in case you're going to try, I'm going to go pray and have God remove the buttons. Do you know when you're supposed to have the buttons removed? Before you go to bed. Don't go to bed angry. No wonder a lot of us look tired. I'm still trying to get the button out. I'm going to sleep. I think God says that too. So, well, deal with it now. Deal with it now. Take that so serious. Do you know a lot of the problems that we have with relationships down the road is because we didn't take that serious. And we thought, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'm not going to bring it back up. Oh, I don't want it to become a big deal. No, God says, don't go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Or what? You give Satan a foothold. No one's relationship went bad overnight. No one's marriage ended in one fight or one situation. No one, children didn't walk away and hate you in one time. It was constantly not walking in the truth of God's word, constantly not communicating, constantly saying, I don't want to rock the boat. We got to teach on that. Smash the eggshells. When the devil tries to get you to walk on eggshells, well, better watch what you say. You'll make them go crazy. Better watch what you say. You'll scream out. You know what? Scream if you want to. I'm not going to be intimidated by you. Some of these things have happened, and my kids have come to me, and they're like, Mom, what did I do? What? I said, you know what? You are not responsible for my behavior, your father's behavior, your teacher's behavior, your pastor's behavior, your employer's behavior. You're not responsible for that. If they acted in an inappropriate way, that's between them and God. But you need to go to God and find out if there's something in your heart that likes to provoke trouble. You need to go and find out if there's something in your heart that enjoys provoking trouble, because the Bible says to devise evil in your heart is wickedness, and it's something God hates. See, this isn't about making people make your life easy. This is about training up your children so that they have the reverent fear of the Lord and recognize how serious this is and recognize that the enemy wants to destroy them and use these things in their heart to hurt them and to keep them from God. And folks, people have been damaged. You know, this whole book that I just read, a lot of it is about when things happen between these ages and these ages, how your brain can't handle making decisions. And so you live your life just responding and responding and responding. They're saying ADD came from kids when they were really young, feeling insecure and didn't know if their parents were coming back. Well, you know what? That's called sitting in front of the TV and not being around. That's called daycare and not knowing if mom's going to be there when you're only 3 years old and can't figure that out. And let me say this. We as a society, because we have served the spirit of mammon, have allowed this. And now our whole economy's falling apart. And nobody's that much better off. We're actually worse off. There's no question we're worse off, because now we have a lot of insecure kids that are in the jail systems, and they can't get jobs. They can't keep jobs. They're living at home. They're angry. They're in counseling. They're doing drugs. We got a big mess on our hands because we didn't believe God in his word, because we started serving mammon, money. How much can we have? It would have been nice if we all settled for nice small houses and raised up godly kids. But not codependent godly kids. Because you got all these Christian moms who are really angry that they're home. And then they try to overdo it with their kids. And they make their kids their idol. And we'll get into all that. Jesus is to be the center of attention in your home. And the marriage should be next. And then the kids. Nothing's going to be more secure to the children than to have parents who look to God, and then parents who they know that they know that they know will not get a divorce. We have a whole teaching on undermining and the codependency of trying to get a need met by making one child feel special. And there's Bible teaching, and we've got all this back on Joseph, and look at the mess it caused Joseph. But God turned it to good. Now, the biggest thing I really encourage you to spend some time doing is put on some praise music, get alone in your room with the Holy Spirit, and say, okay, help me walk through some of those things I just thought was I had to just deal with. And face them. Face what it felt like to have one sister or one brother favored over you. Face what it felt like to be the one that was held up on a pedestal and could do no wrong, and everybody was compared to you. Face what it felt like. And let God start tearing this stuff down, you guys. You know, let him tear it all down. This is definitely going to take more than one night.